From John's Gospel in chapter 18, verse 33 and following, then Pilate entered the headquarters again. He summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Mr. Robert Goosby has a favorite nephew named Robert Farah. That may be news to Robert Goosby. And Robert Farah, at one time in his life, was a honeybee harvester. He knew about bees. And probably in knowing about bees, he understood that the queen bee was central to the strength, health, and life of the hive. Now, those of us not so schooled in beehivery may not know that the queen bee is also the biggest bee, the strongest bee, and sometimes the aggressor of the bees. The queen bee is the one bee that can sting without losing her life in honeybees. She doesn't have a barbed stinger, so she can be most aggressive in defending her territory. And the queen bee, even as she's reigning in all of her glory, there are those called dwarf queens that are being nurtured just in case something happens to the queen bees. And oftentimes the dwarfs fight among themselves, jockeying to see even then who will be the next queen, fighting in a willingness to death so that they can be served as queen. Not so much different, I guess, from the trappings in our world at times for those who hold power and yearn to rule over others. And so it is in our scripture today that we hear these questions, these exchanges between Jesus and one who felt that he had the earthly power to pronounce judgment and punishment upon the true King of Glory. We hear in this exchange with Pilate, what are trappings for him? But you know, if we listen perhaps to this text with fresh ears, maybe we hear some of the same temptations that stand before us as we seek maybe glory, power, prestige in the world around us, even instead of surrendering that to the Lord of life. In our scripture, it begins here by telling us that Pilate summons Jesus to his headquarters. In the verse before, in verse 32 that I didn't read with you there this morning, it said that Pilate was in his palace. He had summoned Jesus to come to him. Such is the trappings that Pilate, in his authority, in his reign as governor of Judea, he had a safe, secure place where he summoned others to him. A summons, when we look up that word in Webster's, it tells us that it takes place when someone offers an authoritative or urgent call for someone to appear before them. And also in our text, it tells us that Pilate, in verse 35, began this dialogue with Jesus by saying, I'm not a Jew. Or in other words, Pilate saying, I would not lower myself to your class, for I'm a Roman. Pilate felt that his air of superiority was clear for all to see as he voiced his reign in Judea and for the people Israel. And then here also in Pilate's reign, he pronounces in verse 35 a tempting role when one provides justice. He's pronouncing Jesus guilty until he's proven innocent. He says to them, in other words, prove to me why you should be innocent, not should they have to prove why you're guilty. And then Pilate also uses Jesus' words against him in verse 37, where he twists and tries to change and challenges Jesus, who is maybe even saying that he's a king on earth. That's the question Pilate has before him. But unlike Pilate, let's consider for a moment. On this day when our church here has set apart the day to celebrate the reign of Christ, or as some traditions call it, Christ the King Sunday, even as we approach Advent, the coming of our Lord, when we celebrate Him in Christmas, and we remember His second coming during this season of Advent, we begin this time by remembering that Christ indeed is King and how His reign is founded, how it contradicts the ways of the world, how it turns upside down the cultures and the norms that are acceptable in our society. Some of you may be familiar with the movie Lion King, and it's going to be coming out again soon with enhanced graphics, lifelike animals, where they celebrate this Disney movie once more. And in The Lion King, there's that lesson of the trappings of Scar, the old bad mean lion, who is intoxicated with greed, with the lust of being the king of the jungle, the pride for all to look up to. But you see, friends, in our scripture today, we're reminded that our Lord was not one to be embraced with the trappings of this world. He turned the model of monarchy and His reign upside down. In our text where we hear that Pilate was embraced in his palace, Holy Scripture reminds us that Jesus, the King of all creation, came to this earth not in a palace, but in a humble manger. In our scripture, where Pilate summons Jesus and those to Him to pay homage to Him, it's our Lord that scripture tells us, who acted like a good shepherd, who sought out even the lost sheep of this creation, saying that you are mine and I claim you through my love. And Pilate, one who had an air of authority, who looked down upon any who were under his reign because he was not a Jew in his words, Jesus came to not be served, but to serve. His scriptures tell us He came for even the least among us. Even as we heard in our affirmation of faith this morning, that Christ came to die for us even while we were sinners at our worst in this life. And in our scripture, when Pilate in his reign viewed Jesus as guilty until proven innocent, we're reminded of the words of John 3:17, following shortly after the familiar passage of John 3:16, where Jesus said this, "The Son of Man came not to condemn, but in order that the world might be set free through Him." You see how our Lord Jesus' reign turns the world upside down and is the true example of what life in our Lord offers to us. You know, in this passage of Scripture too, the biggest transition, it seems, between Pilate's reign, the earthly rulers, and that of our Lord is His commitment to truth. We hear it in our Scripture where Jesus shares in this last verse this exchange about the importance of truth, His commitment to truth, and how it sets us free from our separation from God. You know, in our text, when we think about truth, when we think of a legal transaction, maybe even differing from that Jesus is participating in with Pilate today, oftentimes there are witnesses. Witnesses who vouch for, who defend maybe those who are accused, or witnesses who try to serve as a prosecution. But witnesses, more than anything else, what is sought from them is the truth. That's what Jesus, in His glory, in His reign, is proclaiming in our Scripture today when He says, those who know My voice know the truth. And you know, as we think about this passage and we're maybe enamored and questioned with why is it that truth is so important in our world and to the reign of our Lord. Jesus came to us, Scripture says in John 1, by saying the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, who is full of grace and truth. From 1 Corinthians 13, what many of us know as the love chapter, Paul describes love in these words by saying, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And from the Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon, he says this about truth. He says in Proverbs 12, the Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in those who tell the truth. You know, I'm reminded as we hear this challenge by the Proverbs of lying of the preacher who once said he prepared his congregation for his next week's sermon in saying, next Sunday, I'm going to preach on the sin of lying. And to prepare us for that message, I would like for each of you to read Mark chapter 17 this week in your daily Bible study. Sure enough, the next Sunday came along, and the preacher stood up in the pulpit, and he asked his congregants, he said, now as we prepare to reflect on this sermon of the sin of lying, I'd like for everybody who read the passage Mark 17 this week to raise your hand. To that, many hands shot up in the congregation, and the preacher cleared his voice and said, glad to know y'all read your Bible this week, but there are only 16 chapters in the book of Mark. Now I'll continue with my sermon on lying. In our Scripture, Jesus tells us of His commitment to truth. But even as we consider that, we have to wonder, why is truth essential to our faith? And why does it so much embody the nature of our God? You know, I think it's not so much as turning from lying as it is turning to truth. Hear with me the words from Ephesians chapter 6 that many of us are familiar with. The words where we hear Paul describe of putting on the whole armor of God. We know that Scripture, right? How do we dress ourselves? But listen to how that passage begins. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's good news, isn't it? To find our strength in God. But he said to do that, you need to put on the whole armor of God. We agree with that. He said, you need to take a stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and authorities and powers, this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. It sounds like what our Lord Jesus was facing as he went to trial with Pilate. His commitment to truth. And here's what Paul said when he embodied putting on the full armor of God. He said, so that when the day of evil comes, you may find your strength in God. And he says here, you begin your armor by standing firm and putting on the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Wow, Paul is saying that the whole armor of God protects us. It's a gift to us. It strengthens us against the attacks of evil, the challenges of our world. It strengthens and protects us. And Paul says that that armor begins in truth. You see, so often, the challenge for us to tell the truth is because we're willing to take risks to save ourselves for our own needs. But Paul is saying, and Jesus is exemplifying, that the true gift that sets us free is in truth. It's in our Lord. Jesus came, friends, to testify to the truth, as he said in our scripture. But you know what else our Lord came to testify for you and me? His truth set us free. You know, there was a story once of the king of the jungle. We all know who the king of the jungle is, right? It's the lion, the king of the jungle. But the lion one day was prancing around in all of his strength, and he wanted to be reminded once more by all of the animals of the jungle who was the king. First, he went to the bear and he said, who's the king of the jungle? And the bear said, well, everyone knows you're the king of the jungle. And to that, the lion let out a big roar celebrating his reign. Next, he went to the tiger and he said, who is the king of the jungle? The tiger said, of course, you're the king of the jungle. And finally, he went to the elephant and he said, tell me now, who's the king of the jungle? To that, the elephant grabbed up that lion with his trunk. He slammed him against a tree. Then he grabbed him around the neck and he banged him on the ground a few times, dumped him in a pond and held him down for a few minutes, pulled him out and throwed him on the bank. Then the lion staggered to his feet and looked up at the elephant and said, look, you don't have to get all upset just because you don't know the answer to the question. Friends, here is the answer to the question. The King of Glory, the King of Truth, came to this earth to be a witness, not for himself, but to be a witness for you and for me and for all creation, to set us free, so that he may serve us in his reign forever through his love, his grace, and his life. May we share in his truth forever. Amen.